Thanks, Leo.
You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench your ploughed ground with rain, melting the clods and levelling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown a year of bountiful harvest, even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillside blossoms with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy.
Paul says in Philippians that if we present our request to God through prayer and thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard our hearts. It's really interesting. Present your request to God with prayer and thanksgiving. The peace of God will guard your hearts. I don't know if you know that, but there's a whole load of research. There's an actual science of gratitude. If you look at it, you research this, science of gratitude. Science is catching up with something that the Apostle Paul said a long time ago, that if you pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard your heart. There's a power in thanksgiving. And there's a whole aspect. Harvard University have done a whole lot of research and found, they did a study, and they asked people to keep a journal and be thankful and find three things in each week to be thankful for. They asked another group of people to find to keep a journal and find the things that were concerning them. And they asked another group of people to just live life. When they, after so many months, got these different control groups together, they found the people that wrote down the things that concerned them, well, obviously, that they were just, there was a level of anxiety. The people that found something to be thankful for, in other words, wrote down a journal on gratitude, just three things a week, had increased levels of sleep, increased sense of well-being, less sense of anxiety, and seem to have an empathy and attract and get on with people. It was spectacular. And now Harvard have done even more studies with other universities around the world. That is a whole science of gratitude. In other words, science of thanksgiving developing. But we understand there is power in being open-hearted and thankful to God. So let's pray together, shall we? And Joanne's going to come and share on this theme of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed the living God. And as Joanne comes to share this morning, we pray that she has a tremendous sense of liberty and freedom. Our hearts, we open them to you, boys and girls, mums and dads, individuals here this morning, to whatever you want to say. We pray, Holy Spirit, we pray, have your way, not only in our hearts, but through Joanne as she comes and shares. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Now, Jane is my rock on the PowerPoint. Thank you, Jane. Being thankful. Do you know, I need to do something before I even say a word, something that I haven't been thankful for. I haven't publicly said this, and I want to. Teresa, can you just stand up for me, Teresa? I haven't said a proper thank you. There was a point in Powerhouse where we really needed someone to come in, and Teresa came, and she shared her heart with the children. She brought Jesus and what she knew about Jesus to the children. She was faithful. She said she was going to be there. She was there. If she couldn't get there, she let us know. And I just wanted to say a huge thank you, Teresa. Thank you so much. And I wondered if you just point... You weren't expecting that, were you? I just wondered if you'd reach out your arm to Teresa, and after I say go, I'm just going to ask us to say health, provision, and joy. Okay? Go. Health, provision, and joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Right, so being thankful. It's such a good thing, Adrian's just said. It's a very powerful thing. And God knows us. He knows how we tick. He knows all about us. So things that the psychologists have discovered, God knew. He He knew all about us. He knows how we tick. If we could just go to the next slide. I've shared this saying before, and you've probably heard it. It's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. And I think that's really true. The next slide, please, Jane. In Thessalonians, it says, we're not just being saying something that's good. It's biblical. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the next one, please. So, I'm going to get the children involved where I can this morning. In 2 Samuel 12, it says, therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will praise your name. Now, I need somebody with a pair of hands. Anybody? Any volunteer? Lacey? Lacey's so lovely. Come up, Lacey. Do you know, Lacey, you are such a blessing to us in Powerhouse. I don't think you really know. But isn't she, Julia and Helen and team? She's just amazing. These are Paul's motorbike gloves. Could you stick out your hand? There's nothing nasty in them. It's only glove. So could you put your hand in there? That's it. And put your hand in there. Oh. Right, and if you could just come over here for us. Now, can you lift your hands right up so everybody can see those gloves? Right up. See this? The biblical word. I am not fluent in Hebrew. I speak English and a lot of gibberish, but I do not speak Hebrew. But having done my homework and looked it up, the word is, I don't know how you even say it. It's either yada or yada, I don't know. But it means hands that are... You don't mind me doing this, do you, Lacey? You can get your own back later. Hands that are thrown up in an act of praise to God. Hands that are thrown up in an act of praise. That's amazing. Could you just keep those on? Just keep me company for a minute. I'm a bit lonely up here. Thank you. So God loves it when we throw... Oh, I feel another one coming on. Throw our hands up in praise to God. He loves it. It grabs his attention because we are declaring who he is, what he's done, and he's going, who is that? She's praising me. He's praising me, and he's looking and he's listening, and he's got our attention. And as we praise, I wonder, David, because you know where all these things are in church, anything that's lost, David, can you find it? Could you go and fetch the air freshener, David, out of the you-know-where? So, when we praise, what I'm going to ask Dave to do is to just go and... Dave, could you just go and down the middle? Health and safety, David, health and safety. Right, so, sorry about this, but the point is that when we praise and worship, we change the atmosphere around us. Something happens. There's the fragrance. I think that's enough, David. He's rather enjoying that. Thank you for that. Oh, we've got some as well. So it's good. You know, if we're in a situation where things are bad, to praise and worship changes the atmosphere. If we could have the next slide. In heaven, while we're praising and worshipping, there's worship going on in heaven and praise. And if I could, I'll read it off mine. I can't read it off there. And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. So we're praising and we're... Are you okay standing there? Okay, let's give another little wave. So we're praising and all of heaven's praising. And the fragrance just rises to heaven. She's never going to forgive me for this. Right, it's all going on. And in heaven, they're worshipping and praising. And I, thank you. You can take them off now if you like. That's it. I like to think of it like this. We're all praising in here, and the words are coming out. What's in our hearts? You can just plonk them down. Thank you. And I've got another little job in a minute if you would like one. Right, so we're filling the atmosphere with praise. And then you've got heaven's praising away, and heaven joins us. And in my imagination, it's electric. The praise is filling the place, and this is the place where miracles happen, I believe. This is the place, heaven touching earth, when we see God move. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. If we could have the next slide. This has already been mentioned already, having an attitude of gratitude. It's just not nice, is it, working, doing anything really with anybody who's a bit of a grouch, who's a bit of a moaner. Because you can't stick your head in the sand. Things are as they are. If things are bad, they're bad, aren't they? But what makes it worse is if you're with somebody who's constantly saying how bad things are. Because does it help? No. And I would actually go so far as to say, you're attracting. You know, when we praise, we have a lovely aroma going off. I believe that when we moan, actually, there's a very bad smell coming from us. And bad smells attract flies. And it's just rotten. It's horrible. I'm going to demonstrate something with the children, first of all. And then I'm going to go back to the bad smells. If I forget, tell me to go back to the thing about the bad smells. Right then, children. Where are you all? It's like meerkats. Just disappear and then they appear. So I've got somewhere some envelopes. I need some post people, please. Can I have some post people? Because God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. And I'm going to have the children just take round some little letters to say thank you. So could you give that one to Adrian? Can you find Leanne? Can. If you don't know who they are, you can ask a grown-up. Can you find Zach? He's right behind you in the yellow T-shirt. Can you take her? Zach, we've got a letter for you. Oh, here we go. It's just here. We've got a letter for you, Zach. Can you give it to Zach? There, that's just for you, Zach. This is for Pat Cook-Rogers. Can you find her? So if she's over there, follow the fingers. Jane Blake, go and find out. You're an investigator. Go and find out who Jane Blake is. Go find. David Sanders, you've got to go and find. It's not this Ben, it's Ben Hickling. So head over that way and follow the pointing fingers for Ben Hickling. We need some more. Oh, Tim Sanders. Who else have we got? Perry. She's on the front row just there. Can you go and find Andy? Right. These children are going round giving just little thank you notes. So gratitude is coming from them, okay? In the little envelopes are just a little message to say thank you. The children were walking around just spreading gratitude. This week, children, while you're at school, while you're at home, let's walk around and let gratitude flow from us. Let thankfulness flow from us. Thankfulness is a key. I'm not forgetting I'm going to come back to the bad smells. I haven't got one in my bag, it's all right. Okay, so thankfulness is a key that opens heaven and allows miracles to happen. And it pushes away the enemy who comes to stop us and to stop us pushing his kingdom back. Thankfulness is a key. Now, I need some more children now. I've got some little bits of paper. And I would like someone to come and wear my rather gross. It's a bit holy. Not as in holy, but you know what I mean. Right, can you come up here, Nathaniel? Nathaniel, you are a wonderful boy, but at this moment you are going to play the part of the devil. Okay? So it doesn't mean anything. What the devil loves to do, he's got these little notices. And what he loves to do is try and spot our weak points, and he tries to put labels on us. So come with me, Nathaniel. Have you got a hand feet over there? We're going to try. Come on, Christopher, come over here. I want you to try and stick this on his back. You need a hand. There you go. Turn around, Christopher, face that way. So Christopher is going about his business, and the devil comes and he wants to stick this on him. It might be sticking guilt. It might be sticking, come on, help me. What could it be that the devil wants to stick on us? Like failure. You're a loser. You're not, Christopher. Everything that we're saying, this isn't true. We're play acting, okay? Yes, careful about that. So, and it might want to try and stick on us. What else? Come on. Fear. Shame. Mistakes. Keep reminding us of mistakes. Any more? Telling us we're being stupid. All sorts of things. Now, is it working, Christopher? Try sticking this one on. Come up here, you two, because we can't see at the back. Try sticking them to his back. So if you turn that way, and you come this way, and you go that way, try sticking them to him. Right, does it stick? No. Try that one. Sticking it on his head. Should we do that one? How frustrating. It won't stick because if we are thankful, we give no room to the enemy. See, still trying. Okay, thank you very much. Off you go. Can we have the next slide, please? I'm making a real mess. I make a mess in my classroom every day. I'm terrible. My teaching assistant goes like this. Just leave a terrible mess. A thankful attitude brings victory in our lives. That's true. A thankful attitude brings victory. And the devil is extremely frustrated and storms off, I'm sure, because there's another one who's raising their hands in victory and I can't stick anything on them. Okay. So being thankful, it's not just being nice, it's a very powerful thing. And a thankful heart is just so irresistible to God and pleases him so much. If we could have the next slide. Oh, that's it. I please and resist it. Blah, blah, blah. I told you I speak gibberish as well. So could we have the next slide, please? It's interesting that Jesus gave thanks. And where he gave thanks straight afterwards, the most amazing miracles happened. There was the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000 plus, where he looked at the little that was given, the little that was available. He gave thanks, and they had plenty. So he didn't think, oh, there's not enough food here. You can imagine all the disciples, he's never going to feed all them. Yeah, that's never going to be enough food. Oh, they're going to turn on you. They're going to turn on you. You're going to have a riot on your hands. You're going to have a riot on your hands. No. Jesus looked at what was there. There was no denying it wasn't enough. But he gave thanks because he recognized that God could multiply it. There's the fact. Little. But he knew that God was faithful. And he would multiply. Lazarus died. Everybody knew he was dead. He was stinky in the grave. He'd been in there a while, all wrapped up. I think if he wasn't really dead, he might have died of suffocation if he'd been in there that amount of time. Jesus went and he actually gave thanks first. And he, thanking God that he could hear him. And in his heart, I'm sure he knew that God would be the one that would raise Lazarus to life. But Jesus gave thanks first. Jesus broke bread. We broke bread this morning in thankfulness for what Jesus has done for us. Jesus knew what he had to go through to die on the cross for us. But he gave thanks over the bread and said, "This is my body, as well broken for you." He knew what was ahead. He knew the pain and the suffering, but he gave thanks. And because of that thankfulness and that willingness, we're here today, children of the greatest King. We're here. We are his children because of what Jesus did. And if we could have the next slide, please. I think this is a great challenge. To remain hungry and satisfied is one of the great challenges in our life. We all have areas of success where things are going well. But I can guarantee every human being that's sitting here this morning, along with those areas of success, you will have areas that you're having a struggle with. You will have areas where there is lack. You will have areas where you think, "Oh God, what are you doing?" We can't stick our head in the sand. We can't deny the way that things are. But there's something powerful about thanking God for what he's given us, what we have. And there's something powerful at looking to the one who we know is more than able to multiply. He's more than able to heal. He's more than able to transform your situation. So just like Jesus looking at the little, but his heart was open to the one who could do anything. That's a challenge, isn't it? Because we are all hungry people. We are all hungry. But rather than moaning about what we don't have, moaning about where we should be but we're not, we all have that. It's instead of that, turn it into thankfulness to what we do have and look to the one who can deliver what we do not have. I want to finish with something that has bubbled up and bubbled up as a real something, I think, to give this morning. If we could have the next slide. There's this well-used verse of scripture, well-used. I've heard it a number of times, a lot of times over the past few years. I'm just going to read it and actually think about what it's saying. "Sing, O childless woman, you who never gave birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labour. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." This is somebody, this is giving a picture of somebody who is childless. And saying, it's just amazing. It says, break into loud and joyful song. And that actually means, it doesn't just mean a lively song, but to scream out, to bellow in anticipation and joy for what God is going to do. Not for what you're looking at right now, but to scream out, to bellow in thankfulness to God for what he is about to do, in anticipation. This woman in this picture is saying, you might not have the children yet, but extend your house, make room in faith and anticipation for what God is going to do. And I think this is a very, very powerful picture that God gives. I mean, he was talking, this is back in Isaiah, but it's still powerful today. Again, to right now, to think of areas of your life where you could say it's desolate. And instead of joining in with the others in your place of work or moaning at home, which we all do, I know we all do, but actually to start to sing out in actually screaming it out in anticipation that our God is powerful and our God can intervene. Our God can change the situation that we're in. That exhortation to enlarge your house, to build an extension, I think some of us really need to hear that. Some of you might be anticipating building an extension to your house. Go for it if that's what you're doing. But in a sense, I think we all need to hear that, because sometimes when things aren't quite how we want, we can batten down and stop. But God's saying, I do really believe this morning, is to start to cry out in joy. Cry out in joy to the one who has the ability, the power and the strength to transform your situation. And declare it over your situation. Lift up those hands in praise and stop praising God for what he is doing and for what he is about to do. I think as a congregation, if it's corporately, we begin for the journey ahead to praise God. I know we do. Praise God for everything that you've done. Thank you for the people on this side. Thank you for the people on that side. Thank you for the gifts and the treasures that are in our church. Thank you. And we scream in anticipation for what is about to come. It's a powerful thing. And you know what? You know when the devil comes and goes, you're not growing. Useless doing that in church. That's not working. None of it, when those messages come and we're with people like that, and when we're hearing that, it does not stick. It doesn't stick. And we don't absorb it. We remain open to the purposes of God. And we become instruments to bring about what God has planned to do and what he's destined for us. And if we could have the next slide. Are you still with me, Jane? So I'm taking us right the way back. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to leave it there. But I'm going to ask children. You've disappeared again. Oh, I can see one over there and a few down there. As we finish our time this morning with a song of praise, and as adults and teenagers, as we sing this last song, I want to encourage you to, in your own way, to in your praise and thanksgiving, to declare over your own life and circumstances that you're happy with what God's given you and you're totally open with what's to come and you're joyful about God's plans. And we're going to really declare in anticipation that God has good plans for every one of us in here, and he has good plans for our town and for the food bank. And let's just declare our praises to God. Oh, I didn't come. Who said that? Thank you for that. Oh, okay, I'll finish with the bad smells. Would you mind if I just say? Jonathan, I'll get you for that. I'm going to say, do not be a bad smell. Do not be the bringer of bad smells. Bring the fragrance of heaven. And if you are with another believer, another brother and sister in Christ, who is got that complaining attitude, encourage them to give thanks for what God has done. Let's bring the aroma, the fragrance of heaven in every place that we go this week. Let's be good smells.